Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This week, as the baseball playoffs are underway, it's the young, scrappy Kansas City Royals and the Baltimore Orioles sweeping the older, free agent, bloated rosters of the Anaheim Angels and the Detroit Tigers. Well, they all have free agents these days. It brings us back to one name and one milestone of a lawsuit, Curtis Flood. It's the subject of this week's Retro Report. Curtis Flood was a player for the St. Louis Cardinals, who was traded to the Phillies back in 1969 and didn't like it. Richard Moss, then counsel, general counsel of the Baseball Players Association, remembers.
He liked St. Louis. He liked playing for the Cardinals. And he just didn't think it was right that he had no say in where he would play.
And here's a very bitter Curtis Flood.
Me as a black man, I'm probably a lot more sensitive to the rights of other people because I have been denied these rights.
And Curtis Flood wasn't going to take it, so he filed a lawsuit against Major League Baseball in 1970 challenging the reserve clause. Matt Spoehler is a producer at Retro Report. He produced this story. Matt, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, good to be here.
Curtis Flood's decision and the outcome of this lawsuit changed what we think of today as who and what a baseball player is, right?
I think he was someone who realized that, well, players certainly were popular and had a good amount of money back then relative to most other people in society. He realized that they didn't have a full piece of the pie, as it were, and he decided that he wanted to do something about that, and that's a large part of what the lawsuit was about.
And basically, Curtis Flood wanted to put himself on the market and find out what the market would bear, the price for his services, and free agency was born.
Correct. To this day, a player can be traded, although one of the legacies of that fight and of the union negotiations at that time is something called the Curt Flood Rule by some people, or the 10-5 rule, which is that if you've been with a team for 10 years in the major leagues and 5 years with the same team, you can reject any trade. That's one legacy, but the main legacy is that before the arbitration that followed this lawsuit, there was no way for a player to at any point determine where they wanted to play. The only way was by an owner sending you to where they determined, or just having you play out your career in the same place that you were brought up.
And it's interesting how, not so subtly, this whole dispute in baseball really mirrors what the United States was going through as far as race and the legacy of slavery was in the 1960s. Here's Curtis Flood talking about his dispute.
You're a man who makes $90,000 a year, which isn't exactly slave wages. What you were taught to that?
Well, Howard, a well-paid slave is nonetheless a slave.
Curtis Flood talking to Howard Cosell back in 1970. Mm. Wow. Do you think this was a racial dispute?
I mean, I think you can't extract race from what was happening. Ultimately, what this suit did was give players more, you know, economic power. It can be looked at through a civil rights lens. I mean, Curt had gone through a number of trials in the Southern minor leagues that really informed his perspective. So there's that element to it, but ultimately he was doing this for all ball players. You know, it wasn't just black ball players. It was for everyone.
And Curtis Flood wanted baseball players to be treated like all other workers, essentially eliminating the ways in which baseball players were special. Listen.
Can a man work in America wherever he decides to that he wants to work? Forget that it's baseball. And the easy answer is, of course he can.
The fans really were affected by this because however you treat fairness, fans wanted this team loyalty issue to go on, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a fascinating part of all this is that I think, you know, maybe the younger generations today don't quite they don't remember a time before free agency. So, I mean, this is something that has just become a part of the way we understand professional sports. But even today, you know, at the end of the season, knowing that, you know, you might lose somebody to the free agency market, I think gives fans a lot of consternation. But that's what Curt Flood and people in other sports ultimately were fighting for. And it has become part of our understanding of professional sports.
And it reminds us just how rare Derek Jeter was, playing for just one team in his entire career. Matt Spoehler, producer at Retro Report, thanks so much.
Thank you.